Welcome to Route 31 Credit Union's business podcast, The Extra Mile. My name is Nick Green, and I am the host. And today I'm joined by Jason Burt from College Planning Advisors.
Morning,
Jason.
Nick.
Morning, man. How are you been?
I'm good. Glad to be here. Glad to be a part of this. So,
thank you for taking the time. It's first episode of 2025. So
I didn't even make that.
We're breaking the champagne bottle over ship. Let's get the ship going.
Kick the year off well. You know, it's too good. Do a good one.
Good stuff. All right. So you guys have a pretty unique business. What motivated you to, why don't you just touch real quick what you actually do, and then we'll take a deeper dive.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess just quick what we do. So College Planning Advisors, it's kind of tough to just explain, right? But essentially, we provide personalized counseling services and different tools for high schoolers to help them get accepted in the college that they're looking for or multiple colleges and get the most money that they possibly can, right? Which we're always focused on trying to reduce the overall cost of college, which is, as everyone knows, kind of on an upward trajectory and doesn't seem to be going the other direction.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not getting any less.
No, not at all.
So what kind of triggered this? What motivated you guys to get into this college planning? Did you see a gap in the market? This is pretty unique. So there's not a lot of companies out there like this.
I could say that my business partner and I chose this path, but it kind of fell in our lap. So we actually own another company, a marketing company called New School. And we had a customer, a client at the time, come to us during COVID where So the business model used to be they would send mailers out and get a bunch of people into a library, a community center, and they would kind of talk about the cost of college and do this whole pitch and talk about how they could support them. COVID kind of killed all those big gatherings, so they needed some help. We ended up working with them and creating the whole sales funnel digitally and created just a great relationship with this customer and transformed their business. Unfortunately, Tony, the owner, we were good friends with just the family in general, but the owner actually passed away. Julie, the wife, she didn't want to own the business. She, and the daughter didn't. So they actually came to us and said, you guys know more or as much about this business as any of us do. And Tony kind of wanted that legacy of supporting families and helping families to kind of continue on. He didn't want it to die. So we stepped in and, our goal is to kind of keep doing exactly what he was doing and bringing some good value to families and helping them figure out the whole college space. So, yeah, so it kind of just landed in our lap. But now that we're in it, I mean, it's just such a fulfilling company. I mean, it's been a pleasure to own and just excited to be a part of it. So,
yeah, it's really unique. I've told you guys this before in just other conversations and lunches we've had, but just, I wish I would have had some sort of guidance in general. My parents had no clue where to go, what to do, how are they going to pay for it? Yeah. Just having somewhere to guide through and kind of explain the process, how you can leverage scholarships and things like that is awesome work. So, how do you, going back to that, and I kind of just brushed on my experience I did not have, how do you guys approach guiding the families through that? How does the process look from intro to facilitation through it?
So we have a lot of different aspects to our program. We kind of have an all-in program. Students join our program anywhere from as early as freshman, sophomore year. Majority of our students join during the junior year. But we have a counselor that's one-on-one with them that guides them. It's all done through remote. Our counselors are nationwide, and we support students nationwide. But that counselor has a set plan, that they that we have as a company, and then also, it gets tailored to the specific student. So, anywhere from career counseling, making sure that they know exactly what they want to be and as much as possible, to essay support, to SAT and ACT support, AP support, going through the actual applications and actually helping make sure that they fill them out correctly, FAFSA. I mean, all the way to the point of getting those awards from all those schools and those acceptance letters and helping them appeal potentially and pushing back on the school and trying to get more money on their behalf. So there's an entire program that we work through. And, unfortunately, high schools are a little overwhelmed. There's a lot of great counselors out there, and they try and do their best, but they don't always have the time to spend with every student to be able to give them the support they need. So we kind of step in and do that for families.
Yeah. So you're filling that gap in the education industry where these counselors are overstretched and they can't explain things as good as, well, probably not in depth as good as you can, but not as in depth as you can and really spend the time that.
Right. I mean, we definitely specialize in that side of things and two factors with counselors at high schools, and it's not every situation. I mean, I'm generalizing, so I don't want any counselors out there to be taken back by it. I mean, counselors try and do everything they can. But unfortunately, nationwide, the average ratio for a counselor to students is like 1 to 400.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, they're not just dealing with the academic side. They're also dealing with behavioral and all these other things that they're dealing with. So there's a large population of students that just don't get as much attention as they might need to navigate the whole college space.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. No, we're not throwing any educators under the bus.
No, not
just
at
so
all.
We know.
There's some,
you guys are severely overworked and underpaid.
That is so true. That is so true.
All right. So we've kind of slowly touched on it. What would you say is the most rewarding part of helping families navigate such a critical decision for their family and their loved one?
Yeah, I would say, every time we see the email that comes back like, hey, Susie got into her number one choice college, or, Johnny got the full ride that he was hoping for and we couldn't have done it without you. I mean, it's different with every family, right? Their goals are different. What we're trying to do to help them is different. In some cases, it's very financially focused and that's our goal. In some cases, it's very academic focused and it's, hey, we want to get into this top tier school. So, it's tailored different for every student, but, the fulfilling part is this time of year, when we're getting all those award letters and, seeing the money that and the acceptance that they got for their different schools and just seeing the results. I mean, it's great. And getting that accolade from the family saying, hey, we couldn't have done this without you. And we're just so happy that you were there to guide us. So, I mean, that's ultimately the reward. So
people helping people.
Yep. Yep.
That's all about. Are there any common misconceptions families typically bring up a lot they have about the college admissions process, that you frequently address? Is there like a common denominator that usually comes up the most with planning this?
Yeah, I would say there's a few. I mean, I think one is families kind of automatically assume that they're not going to be able to get any need-based aid. Some families will skip filling out FAFSA and not do it at all. And some gaps with that is one, you might be surprised who does qualify and who doesn't. And then on the flip side of that as well, some schools will not provide merit dollars if you don't fill out the FAFSA, so they miss out on other opportunities.
Right.
I would say another one that's a really common one that our families don't realize is you look at the ticket price of college education, right? Everyone goes to Google and looks at all these different colleges, whether it's local or national. Private schools will always show this huge sticker price, right? Oh my gosh, private school A is $60,000 a year, but public school B is, $30,000 a year. Don't just accept that. So the reality is that they play by different rules. Being a private school, they have all these endowments. They have all these donors that give them money. And their sole purpose is to use all that money to get the best students possible and to get as many students to come to their school, where the public schools don't have that same amount of money that's sitting behind them. So once you go through the process, and we talk with our families all the time about, having a good mix of private and public schools on their list, as you get down to the end of the process, you realize that, public school is, they're offering you $8,000, but this private school is offering you $28,000, right? Because they have that money. So when it all comes down to the end, we can often find private schools that will actually be cheaper than some of the public schools. So for parents out there listening to this, don't just automatically, because your Google search said that this school is so expensive, take them off your list. There's a lot of opportunities with private schools.
That's hugely valuable information.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the Google search won't show you that, right? Out there on the internet. So a lot of great opportunities get missed by families.
Yeah, that's a really valid point. My family and I just switched to a private school last year for our children, just elementary into high school.
Sure.
But we kind of thought the same thing. We're like, this is crazy. It's kind of expensive. It's 12-1 as opposed to 20-1. So they're going to get a little bit more intimate experience with their school. They're going to learn more. Going back, they have financial aid, they have scholarships, they have merits.
Right.
Like if they play sports, they get little bonuses and, you could work there, volunteer and earn money off. there's a lot of ways to afford that. So
definitely
great point. I'm really glad that you brought that up. So what do you think the biggest challenge this new generation faces when planning for college? Besides everything going on an upward trajectory.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just to reiterate, expenses. I mean, I think the cost continues to go up. The admission requirements for every school, they continue to increase those, right? You know, a school that, you know, you used to be able to get in with a 3.3 and a, you know, whatever, SAT, ACT, that's now a 3.5. And, you know, there's so many students applying to college. The schools, you know, continue to ramp things up. I think that presents a big challenge for a lot of students. You know, it's how do you take your child, your student, and raise their, you know, separate them from the rest of the pack? Because every school has, you know, 1,000 students that all have a 3.3 and a 26 ACT, right?
Yeah.
And it's how do you make your 3.3 student, 26 ACT rise above the pack, whether it's through the essay, whether it's through, you know, how you're submitting the application, you know, through anything and everything you can to differentiate them, to make them, you know, be the one that gets the merit dollars where the others don't. I mean, it's unfortunately, it's kind of a cutthroat business, and parents need to kind of think that way. And how do you help your student get every advantage as possible if college is the path that you're choosing, right? So that's
the club organizations. I'm involved with Rotary Club, mm-hmm. So we have youth exchange, all that. Those things give you a little leg up in that dynamic of being. Getting that one step ahead of somebody?
Yeah, I think...
Club organizations, things like that?
Yeah, I think being involved in just activities in general, whether it's in school, outside of school, whether that's, you know, sports, or whether that's a volunteer-type situation or a job, I think that helps. I think there's a balancing act between activity stuffing, where right. I've been involved in 46 activities over the last 2 years, and, you know, some of them, it may have been 1 week's worth of, you know, time.
Right.
Versus having, here's a healthy amount of activities that I'm involved with, and I went really deep in them, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, schools love to see, you know, someone who wants to go into the engineering field be involved in an engineering club, and I was involved in it for 4 years, you know, or be involved in, hey, I did an internship with this company, and I you know, spent the summer, you know, at this engineering firm, right? They want to see depth in your activities, and yeah. They really love to see the relevancy, right? And it's not to say that sports or other things, you know, just having hobbies and interests aren't good, but to have 46 different activities and they're just very random, which is an approach that people use for a long time and
diversity.
Still are using, you know, yeah. Just, you know, college love to see activities. You know, we recommend not going down that path and trying to be, you know, more strategic around the activities.
Quality, not quantity.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Be strategic. Mm-hmm. Tie it to what you want to do.
Yep.
Good stuff. This kind of off topic question, I was just thinking about it when we were chatting. Has there been any major adjustments with college funding or them adjusting based on like loan forgiveness, things like that? Have those affected the college application process and admissions process?
Yeah, I mean, every year, you know, and really 2 years ago, we had the biggest adjustments. But the government's looking at FAFSA and saying, you know, what are they changing as far as their requirements? You know, probably the biggest thing that's happened, I would say, in the last 2 years that's affecting a lot of families is the FAFSA used to take into account if you had more than one student going to college at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And it makes sense.
And it would adjust the amount that you're expected to pay as a parent. They took that away 2 years ago. So for like myself, who has a senior in college right now and a new freshman this year, FAFSA does not look at that and say, oh, you know, instead of paying X amount per year for each, you know, we can give you some, you know, some help and guidance around that. So all those, there's a lot of families that's affected significantly. That was a huge benefit that they took away. So it just puts more pressure on us as a company and others like us to say, how do we help the merit dollars? How do we get more awards? How do we get more academic scholarships from the colleges?
Yeah. Do you know why they took that away? Or
there's not really a clear cut reason. You know, they made a lot of adjustments with the need-based aid. That's kind of the one that's most, you know, prevalent and affects more families. But, you know, there wasn't necessarily a clear-cut reason as to why they did it. So
interesting. Yeah, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So that's news to me.
So for those parents that have two students that are close together, you know, that's something you have to plan for. And once again, I mean, you know, you have to plan on the merit side and do everything you can to try and get every dollar possible through other avenues.
So well, good thing I've spaced my kids out.
There you go. Right. 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 Yeah, maybe we should be going all the way back to that point of like, you know, people that are getting married. Like, okay, yeah. If you're getting married, let's think about college now. How do you space your kids out?
Wait 4 3/4 months four years, three quarters months before you have your next one.
Exactly. That's college planning at the earliest phase.
Now we're back and now we're getting tapping into family planning. There might be a market there. Who knows?
Yep.
Alrighty. So moving on, it's kind of a Speaking of everything we spoke of, and this question came up in my mind because, you know, I encourage my kids to look at alternatives. You know, their grandpa's a builder.
Right.
You know, their grandpa has friends that are electricians and plumbers and they're tradesmen, but they make a lot of money now and they don't have any student debt.
It's a great path.
Do you guys help with any non-traditional planning, like tech centers, career schools?
We don't like advertise that, you know, and specifically say it. It's something that we're actually considering to have more of a focus around that.
Mm-hmm.
But what we find is, you know, a lot of our students and parents come to us and, you know, as a freshman or a sophomore, even as a junior and a senior, you don't necessarily know what you want to be when you grow up, right? Yeah. I'm 40. Almost 49 years old, and I don't know what I want to be when I grow up.
I'll be 40. So much less
as a student, you know, really making that clear cut decision. You know, some are more clear than others, right? They have a path that they think they want to go down. But part of the job of the counselor and you know, working with the students is trying to help them discover that, right? Giving them some good career path, you know, conversations and having them, you know, get involved in volunteering, you know, hey, I want to be an engineer. Okay, let's see what that actually means. You should probably take this summer and go volunteer and see what it actually means to be an engineer, you know, because that's the type of thing that's going to give them more clarity as to what that path looks like. And, you know, we often have students that get to the point where all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I don't think college is the path for me, right? Whether it's through academic, you know, maybe their academics aren't where they wanted them to be by the time they get to their junior, you know, senior year, or along the way, they just discover that they have different interests, and it's, okay, well, how do we help you go down that path, right? So we don't have a focused program that's on the trades, like I said, although that's something that we're looking at, but we're very open as we have students come into the program, you know, just because initially as a freshman, the parents and or them think they want to go to college, a lot of things change, and, you know, I think it's staying open to that and truly trying to find the right path that fits the student. So, because those are some great paths, right? Electrician, all the different trades, you know, plumber.
Yeah,
so,
welders, all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's, to our point, we're in our 40s and we don't know what we want to do.
Right, exactly.
But you just, there's so much like societal pressure and then the parents, but it's great that you guys will walk someone through that. And if they do decide, then it is what it is.
Yeah.
I didn't quite touch on this and we don't have to talk about it, so we can edit this out if we need to, but do you guys charge for this service?
We do. Okay. We do. Yeah. So, I mean, there is a, you know, whether you join the program as a, you know, freshman, sophomore, junior, seniors, we have some, you know, shorter programs, but it's a full program. You know, our cost, depending upon if you're signing up just one student or multiple students, you know, range from $2,500 to a little over $5,000 for multiple students. So it just kind of depends. And I know that, you know, as a parent, I think of like, you know, spending, let's say, you know, $3,500 or $4,000 on a student. It's a big number, right? It's not something that's easy for parents by any means. You know, what we think of and the way we talk with parents about it is all we need to be able to do to justify that for them, to make it worth them, to, you know, whether it's the return on investment, just pure financial, is we need to help you find an extra $1,000 a year.
Yeah.
Right. Over 4 years, which, you know, through scholarships, through different merit awards, through schools, things like that. I mean, that's really easy to accomplish, you know, in terms of our program. You know, often we achieve a lot more than that.
Yeah.
You know, we also have, you know, payment plans, things like that. But I think the biggest feedback that we get from our families is not so much focus. It's interesting because the initial calls we have with families when we're talking to them about our program, it's all financial focus, right?
Right.
It's all like, what are you going to save me? What's this going to do for me financially long term? By the end of the program, the feedback we get is almost like, well, yeah, you saved me money. But what was great was how, you know, you were able to make sure I hit every deadline on, my student knew exactly what they needed to work on. You know, you had a plan for us. It's more that, like, peace of mind, knowing that they were doing it the right way and that things were being taken care of, that always rises to the top at the end of the program, more so than the financial side. It's interesting how much that swap happens because there's a lot that comes along. And unfortunately, most parents don't even think about the college planning side until the beginning of their senior year.
Yeah.
Typically, you know, at the end of the junior year and or the beginning of senior year, the high schools will hold a big assembly and say, parents, come on in here. Here's all the things you need to do in the next few months.
Yeah.
Right? And at that point, it's virtually too late.
Here's all your papers you'll lose on the way home.
Yeah, exactly. And at that point, it's like, you know, that's the first time that it really rises to the surface. Like, oh my gosh, we have to have applications in here and, you know, November 1st or, you know, these are the dates. And and then all of a sudden that panic comes in. So, it's an interesting process. I'll just say that.
I mean, it hits right on the head. The old saying, there's a price and then there's a value.
Right.
So yeah, cost and value.
Yeah.
The value is definitely there.
Right.
And people kind of forget about the cost as you navigate that. So,
yeah.
And to your point, it just, your college planning advisors, counselors, it's like you're consulting and you're like planning this because when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So you guys are helping them through that process. That's huge to have someone be like, give you that little nudge and not have that stress of, I only have 3 weeks left. I got to get all this paperwork done. And if anybody's filled out FAFSA, they know how long that takes. Mm-hmm. And I did it all myself, so fully understand. Right.
It's actually, I would say that with the new changes, a little bit easier, but it's still, just can be just confusing, right? It's not like a difficult thing, but it's the way they word things. You know, they word it so that the student's supposed to fill it out, which makes it confusing for the parent. You know, and like when you're going through it, it's very easy to be like, "What number are they asking for here?" Because it's just not clear. It's not black and white. And unfortunately, you make a couple of mistakes on that, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe you were going to get some aid, and now you're not because some simple mistake. So
I always had that intent, like, notion when I was filling it out, too. I was like, I feel like there's a dude on the other side of this computer right now watching me do this. And if I answer this wrong, he's going to take $1,000 away from me.
Yep.
It actually has some truth reward to it. Because if you check something wrong, you're out that money.
Yeah, it can be stressful, that's for sure.
Alrighty. We kind of touched on this already, but, you know, you talked about how you acquired it through the unfortunate loss of the business owner, his family. You talked about some memories, but if there was like a core memory that you've experienced as CPA, what would that be?
Core memory. I think probably, so it was very early after we bought the company. So we bought the company, towards the end of 2023, brand new kind of to the whole college planning process, right? Other than from the marketing side, you know, really just learning the business. And the first email that I received from a family, like just excited. And it was their son had gotten into Harvard. And it was just like this amazing, like, oh my gosh, you guys made it happen, you know? And, you know, one of the counselors had forwarded it to me, you know, just saying, hey, just so you know, and I'm reading this email, and it was just like, wow. You know, and I think that was the first time for me that we had bought CPA, College Planning Advisors, and realized, like, the impact that we could have on families and students. And from that point on, it just really started resonating just, you know, how much we can help them and the different things we can do. That was the first one, that was the first email that I saw, right? The first family that, you know, here's what you guys did. And it was, you know, we got you into Harvard and, you know, my son got into Harvard. So it was just a cool moment for me. I like was telling everyone, you know, you know, my family, friends, you know, everyone that I talked to, you know, cause they still were asking questions about the business. Yeah. I'm like, we got someone in Harvard. You know, like we helped that. Right. We, you know, I mean, obviously it's the student and their work, but I mean, yeah. We were part of that. We helped make that happen. So it was just, very cool moment.
Yeah. Do you have that framed?
I don't. I have it in my inbox, though, still. Yeah. I haven't deleted that.
I'd print it off and frame it.
Right?
That's huge. I mean,
yep.
You guys take over and do that. So.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm kind of out of questions for you today. I really appreciate you deep diving in this with me and talking about it.
Love talking about the company. So,
you guys, every time I talk to you or your business partner about it, you guys get excited, you light up. Mm-hmm. So I know you're passionate about it. Right. Despite how you acquired it, your passion's still there for it.
Yeah.
You guys are great at what you do on the marketing side as well. So hopefully we can get Mr. Business Partner on here as well.
That's right. You got to find some time with him. So.
If you'd like, you can go ahead and plug in this camera your website, Facebook page, sure. Whatever you want to do, and then we'll close it out.
Yeah, I mean, our website is not the easiest. We're redesigning. We might even rebrand a little, but it's College Planning Advisors of MI, so of Michigan. .com. Jump on that website and find us. There's some place where you can sign up for some free webinars, which is a great place to learn about our company and what we do. The webinars last about an hour, but it's a great opportunity. Watch the webinar, learn about all the different aspects of college planning that we look at. And at the end of that, you can, sign up for a free consult and have some more conversations with someone, else. But the webinar is a great place to start. You know, once again, College Planning Advisors of MI.com. So
I'll link that in the YouTube post.
Perfect.
And on Spotify. So they can just click the link right through there. If anybody wants to reach out to Jason and his team, they do phenomenal work. They're phenomenal humans. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
We did it.
We did it.
We sailed the ship for 2025, first episode.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks.